Thank you, Tom. That was great. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do have, would you turn with me to 3 John? That's toward the end of the New Testament. 3 John, page 1327, 3 John. This month, I will complete 38 years in the ministry and begin my 39th year. Of the thousands of messages that I have taught and preached on different subjects, I suppose the topic that I preached on the most is the coming of Christ, because it's very important. And it was that subject that ultimately led to my salvation. And I suppose the subject that I preached on the least has been the topic of giving or tithing or money. And yet there is so much in the Bible that's said on these subjects. So I'm going to get out of character a little bit this morning. And I'm going to preach on the subject of tithing or giving or money. Not necessarily because our church needs it, but you need the blessing that comes from tithing or giving. So I'll title the message, Stewardship and Lordship. Look with me in 3 John and verse number 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father in heaven, we're about to look at a subject that it's hardly ever preached from this pulpit. And Lord, we ask forgiveness for that, because it should be preached more often so folks can get a blessing. So I pray this morning you'll give me the attention of all the folks in this auditorium. I pray you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll empower me to preach your word. May folks make decisions this morning at the invitation that they'll be glad 100 years from now that they made. Save those who are lost, reclaim those who are backslidden, and do a mighty work in our hearts these next few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we as believers in Christ be prosperous and be a truly mature Christian according to Bible standards? And the answer is yes, if prosperity does not take the place of Christ's lordship in one's life. If we do not forget our relationship with Christ when hard times come, God will prosper us when he sees that we can handle prosperity. The plan of prosperity is found in a manual prepared by our Lord called the Bible, the Word of God. For instance, in John chapter 6, the people were hungry and Jesus met their needs. He provided tax money when it was revenue time. Jesus encouraged investments and capital gain in Matthew 25. The scriptures do teach a plan of economy and prosperity for the believers. The problem is that many Christians do not know of God's program, or they do not have the faith and to properly teach it and to follow it and to live by it. Maybe you fall in that category this morning. Maybe you just don't understand. Maybe it's never been taught to you before. A healthy church is one in which the people are taught to practice God's plan of prosperity. Now, let me repeat that. A healthy church is one in which the people are taught to practice God's plan of prosperity. If we will just follow the instructions that God gives to us in his manual. Let's look at a couple of examples of instructions that God gives to us. Go way back to the front of the Bible, almost the front of the Bible, and stop at Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1, that's on page 259 if you have a Scofield Bible. Joshua chapter 1, one of the first verses I ever memorized as a babe in Christ, is verse number 8. So look at it carefully, at the instruction God gives us here. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That is the instruction. Then what follows? For then, after we follow these instructions, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What a great instruction God gives to us there. Now go back to the New Testament and stop at Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6, page 1081 in your Scofield Bible. Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to read begin in verse number 38 of Luke 6. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. We see here that we do prosper as we turn to the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, work the Word of God, observe the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, do what it says, and then will come prosperity. You can't beat that formula. The plan, as God gives us in Scripture, is very elementary, but yet very profound. The key is give, as we see here in Luke 6 and verse 38. The philosophy of the world is get all you can all you get, sit on the lid, and poison the rest. The natural tendency is to get in order to prosper. However, God's plan is to give in order to prosper. This is God's plan of faith. Faith is always an opposite concept from the world's, which lives by sight. God has a plan in the Scriptures for every area of our lives, complete with principles for success and solutions for violation. The home, the dad, the mom, the husband, the wife, the employer, the employee, the peace of mind, all of these things are covered in God's Word and gives you a plan for success in all of these areas. So if you're not successful in these areas, you're not following God's instructions. It only makes good sense that God would give a solution to one of the most common problems that all of mankind face, and that's the problem of money. A lack of money is a common problem that affects a Christian's social, domestic, emotional, and spiritual life. Now, God's not the author of these mental and physical irritations. Therefore, there must be an answer. And the one thing that we see takes us back to 3 John again. Let me read it. And we're going to be looking at some verses, go away from them, and come back to the same verses again in the message this morning. Look at, or listen at, again at 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things, above everything else, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For as our souls prosper, so will we prosper physically and financially and emotionally. Now, I want to ask you folks a few questions this morning and see if you can answer them. The first question is, how are we to give? All right, let's look at a couple of verses that tell us. Go back to Galatians chapter 6, our text verses this morning. Galatians 6, page 1247, and we're going to come back and forth in this area of Galatians. Galatians 6. Page 1247, and beginning in verse 5, Galatians 6, verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then back to your left, just a couple of pages to your left, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If you sow, you reap. Notice again, back to your right, just a couple of pages to Galatians chapter 6, and look at verse 6 again. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. The word communicate denotes monetary remuneration and sets the context for verse number 7, which says, whatsoever a man soweth. This refers to anything that is sown, including money. Sow corn, you'll reap corn. Sow wheat, and you'll reap wheat. Sow money, and you'll reap money. Whatever is sown will of the same seed be reaped. This leads us back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again and verses 6 and 7. Look at them again carefully. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This refers to anything that is sown. These verses teach directly about monetary things, about money. You reap what you sow, you give, sow by giving, and you give cheerfully. I'll say that again. You reap what you sow by giving, and you give cheerfully. Did you put your tithes and offerings in this morning cheerfully or grudgingly? If you put it in grudgingly, you're not going to get anything for that. You're not going to get any blessings out of that. Now go back with me to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, would you please? Malachi chapter 3, page number 982. Malachi, the third chapter. And look with me at the promise and the instructions given in verse number 10 of Malachi 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Is there anybody in this auditorium this morning that wouldn't like God to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out so many blessings that we couldn't even handle all of them? Look again at these verses, back again to Galatians, Galatians 6, and look at verse 7 again. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And back up again to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And then back up to your left to Mark's Gospel and the 10th chapter, Mark chapter 10. And you'll find that on page 1059, Mark chapter 10. And follow along as I begin reading in verse number 29, Mark 10, 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Underline those words, now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal or everlasting life. After the sowing comes the reaping. Bountiful sowing means bountiful reaping. The disciples had invested their lives and their materials first, then came the reaping. The widow gave the cake first in 1 Kings 17. Then came the meal. I want us to look at this little story. It's one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible. So would you go back to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. 1 Kings, chapter 17. That's on page number 411 of your Scofield Bible, 411. 1 Kings 17. And would you follow along as I begin reading in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Sounds a little selfish from this man of God, doesn't it? But let's go to verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. What a story of God's provision. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe your cupboards are bare and you're going to go home today and you don't know what you're going to eat because there's nothing there to eat. God provides if we follow his instructions, if we put God first and trust God. The tithe and the offering of Malachi 3:10 came first. Then God opened up the windows of heaven. So sowing must precede the reaping. And the greatest illustration of this is the farmer and his seed. He knows this tremendous principle that there will be no reaping in the fall if there's no sowing in the spring. The next question I want to ask is how to give. And for this, we need to go back to Galatians chapter 6 again. Galatians chapter 6, page 1247, if you've lost your place. Galatians 6. And look at verse number 9. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When we apply the principle of sowing and reaping, we must carry out its concept to the very end. Before reaping, there must be a period while the principle goes through its cycle of production. Many people give, they will sow, but then they quit almost the same week. There is a process of waiting after the sowing, then will come the fruit. Remember the farmer? He sows in the spring, but he doesn't reap until the fall. The next question, where to give? Look back to Malachi again. Malachi chapter 3, page 982 and verse number 10. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse in the Old Testament was called God's house. The church in the New Testament is in many ways the same as the storehouse in the Old Testament. The church is a place where people come to get fed the Word of God, to be encouraged, to be uplifted, to get saved, to serve, to get baptized, to partake of Holy Communion, which we're going to do in a few minutes, to worship and praise the Lord, and to send missionaries around the world with the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear folks, listen to me. What is sown in this church will eventually be reaped in the world. What is sown in this church will eventually be reaped in the world. The next question is, how much should we give? Malachi 3:10 says, tithes and offerings. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, as he purposeth in his heart. Tithe means tenth. The Bible says tithes and offerings. So I must conclude that the Bible teaches more than a tithe. More than that. Not just a tithe, but more than a tithe. As he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now listen to me carefully. The tithe belongs to the Lord. It is his. There's no sowing and no reaping involved in giving our tithes. Turn with me back to the front of the Bible, to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, page number 164. Leviticus 27. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 30 of Leviticus chapter 27, page 164. Verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's, and the Lord's going to give his tithe. It would be better for you to give your tithe than the Lord have to take it in some way or another. And he will get his tithe. Now, after we give our tithe, then comes the principle of sowing and reaping and the amount that we purpose in our hearts. Then we can apply 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. Let me read that for you again. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Sow a little, reap a little. Sow a lot, reap a lot. You reap according to what you sow. How much will we receive after we give? Let's go back to those verses in Mark again. Mark chapter 10 and verses 29 and 30, page 1059. Verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say to you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. We reap a hundredfold. It will be running over. 2 Corinthians says, we reap bountifully. Malachi says, we will not have room enough to receive it. Listen, dear folks, God can never, ever be outgiven, never. He does multiply our material possessions, and he often does it in ways that we don't even consider. For instance, God's protection and preservation of health by the providential endurance of material things, by saving us money on many items and situations. There are two very interesting scriptures that seem to enlighten our understanding on the subject of reaping and sowing. Luke 6:38 says, men shall give unto your bosom. And then I want you to look at a verse in Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn over there with me, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 28, page 1253. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. God's plan works through human instrumentality. We give, and others give to us. We have reaped, and they in turn have sown. This verse says that we're to labor. God uses our jobs to meet our financial needs, to help meet our financial needs. When I worked at my secular job, I was senior plant operator in charge of the plant and all the operations. An opening came up in the service department, and I wanted to make a change. So I went with my wife, and I told her about this opening, and I'd like to make the change. I'd like to put in a bid to see if I'd get the job. And I believe it was God's will for me to do so, even though it meant taking a huge cut in pay. So I put in a bid. I got the job. And then we also got the job of being the janitors at our church. For $15 a week, we were janitors in that church. But it helped out. After 1 year in the service department, I was put on what they call trouble watch or service watch. That means I would end up making much more by making the shifts in the job than I would ever make by staying where I was. And nobody had ever been put on service watch after only 1 year in the department. I was the first one that ever happened to. Now, you tell me that wasn't of God? Next question. When do we receive the rewards of our reaping? Luke 6:38 says, men shall give. Mark 10:29 says, now in this present time. Now, some of you are thinking this morning, I can hear you thinking. Some of you are thinking this morning, when I get on my feet, I am going to start giving. No, no, no. You must start giving in order to get on your feet. Turn with me back to the first book of the Bible again. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. Genesis chapter 28. And look, we're getting in verse number 20 carefully at these verses with me, please. Genesis 28, first book of the Bible. Chapter 28, look at verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. Now notice this last part. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Wow. That's something, isn't it? Jacob made a vow to the Lord. Said, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything. Now, it's noteworthy that at this point, Jacob was financially and material destitute. But he made the vow anyway. He was wise enough to understand God's principles. Now, two chapters later, go over to Genesis 30 and look at verse 43. Genesis 30, verse 43. And the man, Jacob, increased exceedingly. Yes, it pays to give. Now, let me quickly mention one more thing. God is not mocked. Go back again to Galatians chapter 6, page 1247. Galatians 6 and verse number 7 again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God will not be mocked. God cannot be fooled. What it means when it says God will not be mocked, that means God's plans always work, always, without fail. They always work. Now, I want to go back to those verses in Mark chapter 10 because I've got another comment to make about that. So we'll go back to Mark chapter 10 again, page 1059, Mark chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading in verse 28 this time. Verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Peter seems to be saying, Lord, we have left it all. We've left our jobs. We've left our homes. We've put our family in the background. We have left it all to serve you, and yet we've got nothing back. Jesus immediately cleared up the misconception, and he stated very emphatically that whether you expect it or not, you will receive much more in return in this life than you would ever, ever give up. Why? Because God will not be mocked. God's plan always works. Now, if you folks want to prosper, maybe some of you don't. But if you want to prosper, if you're not yet doing it, start your tithing. I know there are scores in this room this morning that tithe. I'm sure they are. I have no idea what people give, but I'm sure there's a bunch of here that do tithe. Talk to any one of them, and they'll tell you what I'm preaching this morning is true. Now, you're going to have to decide how much you're going to sow. And what you decide to sow after you start your tithing, you will reap. That's God's promise. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, there's one more thing you need to give in order to get. You need to give your heart to Jesus Christ so he can give you eternal life. He gave you his life on a cross. He died in your place. He shed his blood. He suffered an awful, horrible death and was raised from the dead so you could have your sins forgiven and go to heaven one day. And if you've never made that decision, I pray that you'll do that this morning. May we bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truths of your word. We thank you that the instructions you have given to us in your word never, ever fails. There's not a person in the world that has started tithing and kept up with it that say you didn't meet their needs. There's nobody that could say that because you always do. Your plan always works. Your instructions never fail. And I'm sure there's a number of folks in our auditorium this morning that need to take this message seriously and begin to do what you've told them to do. Because, Lord, my desire for them is that they will prosper. But they've got to follow the instructions. And I'm sure many say, there's no way possible that I could do it. I know I said that many years ago myself. But we started it, and it worked, and I would never stop. I don't know if there's anyone here that's unsaved this morning. This message was sure not to the unsaved, but there might be somebody here that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior. And I pray if there is that they'll receive him before they leave this building. Bless the invitation, as only you can do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Without apology, we have an open invitation on Sunday morning. If you're in need of talking with the Lord, doing business with God, maybe making a vow to God this morning, the altar is open. And if you've not come to Christ as your Lord and Savior, just come and let me know, and we'll take somebody to a private room with you and open up the Scripture and show you how you can go to heaven. Whatever the Holy Spirit lays upon your heart, you be obedient to him.